Welcome to eBookworm, the monthly interview of leaders of the ebook and digital audiobook movements. My name is Tom Peters, your host. eBookworm is sponsored by the Mid-Illinois Talking Book Center, part of the national network of talking book centers providing content and services to print-impaired users. Members of the virtual studio audience, that's you all, can post questions using the text chat window located in the left center area of your screen. The keystroke command Alt-T will also move your cursor into the text chat input window. Just type in your message and press return, and then I'll read that question back to our guest today. Please be aware that this session is being recorded and will be made available on the web soon after the conclusion of this interview. Our guest today is Ron Zevi, founder and president of Tumbleweed Press, a privately held company based in Toronto, founded in 1996. A leading children's book publisher, Tumbleweed Press specializes in cause-related content. Our primary reason, though, for having Ron as our guest today is because they've been involved in ebooks and digital audiobook initiatives. First of all, Ron, thanks very much for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Let's begin by talking a little bit about Tumbleweed Press. I understand that was the first in the growing line of Tumble products. When you started this back in the mid-90s, did you set out intending to be a quote-unquote normal publishing house?
Well, I didn't actually set out to do anything. I came into the publishing business by way of my young niece, who at a very young age was diagnosed with having a nut allergy. And as a good uncle, I decided to go out and buy her a book to help her deal with her nut allergy, and discovered that there wasn't one available. And being a writer of sorts of short stories and failed novels, I decided it might be a good idea to try to write it myself. And I did. I wrote a book called No Nuts for Me, partnered with a friend of mine who is an illustrator, and then decided to have the chutzpah to go ask Kraft Peanut Butter and Skippy Peanut Butter to pay for distribution across Canada of 25,000 books. It led me to quit my job and start Tumbleweed Press, which was a company that specializes in cause-related books for corporate sponsorships and promotions. So we've gone on to do books about asthma, books about volunteering, about racial discrimination, various different causes, and have partnered with lay organizations, professional organizations, and corporate sponsors to help us distribute hundreds and thousands, in fact, millions of books across North America.
So how does that work? Do you write the book and then look for the sponsor, or do you find a sponsor and then write the book? How does it typically work out?
Well, and in the ideal world, the sponsors call us and beg us to write a book for them, and that's what we do. But in reality, we come up with concepts, think of professional organizations to partner with, and then go out to the corporate community and show them the books that we've done in the past and talk to them about the book that we're doing now. For example, last year, in the midst of the West Nile virus program, we decided that a book about mosquito prevention might be an interesting and worthwhile book for young children. So we came up with the concept, and we went to S.C. Johnson, who are the makers of Off, and approached them with the idea, and they loved the concept. We ended up doing 200,000 titles here in Canada. We partnered with one of the big drugstore chains and distributed 200,000 titles for free.
Okay, and then tell us a little bit how Tumble Books got started. That was just your first venture into ebooks in general?
It was, and in fact, Tumble Books, we thought, would be an extension of Tumbleweed Press. We thought, well, we were doing the books in print format. It was a logical extension to create the books in electronic format, put them up online, and have our corporate sponsors sponsor the online version of the book, whether it be on their own website or on third-party websites. And it was in creating the first few Tumble Books that we realized that we had a format that nobody else really had. Of course, the first Tumble Books that we did were the books that were Tumbleweed Press books. So they were No Nuts for Me and Once Upon a Breath and those titles. But in creating them and working with our developers and working with what is available in Flash, we came up with an animated talking picture book format that even the big players like Disney were not replicating.
And somewhere on the web, so it must be true, I thought I saw the month of November 2000 as your launch date for TumbleBook. So is that true? You just celebrated your four-year anniversary?
Yes, and when we launched, we had a product and we had nothing to do with it. Of course, our idea at the beginning is to create downloadable books, and our vision, like the vision of many people in 1999 and 2000, was the ubiquitous handheld device that would sell for $99 at Toys R Us, and children all around the world would be downloading Tumble books and carrying them to school and bringing them on the train and bus and plane as they traveled. But of course, the panacea of the download revolution didn't really come to fruition. So we found ourselves with what we believe to be an excellent product, but no real distribution channel. And although we began by selling downloads both on our site and at Amazon, the revenue was negligible. And so we were faced with having what we thought was a state-of-the-art product, but no real distribution channel. And that's how we ended up launching Tumble Book Library. We decided to combine all the books we've done, go up to the publishing community and license their titles, convert them to the Tumble Book format, and have a collection of books which we then license to the natural partners for them, which would be public libraries and elementary schools around the world.
And was the first Tumble Book line geared towards primarily towards readers under about the age of 8? I mean, they were sort of beginning to read type books?
Sure. They were a K-4 product. They were, you know, it was an animated talking picture book. The types of titles that we had were picture book titles that catered to the K-4 community. And those are the books that we created. And the website that you see up on your screen now is the latest incarnation of Tumble Book Library. It's a product that we currently license to over 1,500 public libraries and elementary schools around the world. It's a collection of about 100 titles. The great majority are animated talking picture books, which are accessed online through a public library or elementary school website.
So when the offline reading distribution as a distribution method didn't really work out, you went with the online distribution through the Tumble Book Library. At what point did you develop, I guess you call it TumblePad, which is your reader software? Can you tell us a little about that? Because, you know, the history of reader software in and of itself would probably make a good dissertation for someone.
Well, the first generation downloadable product was called the Tumble Reader, and the latest version is called TumblePad. If truth be told, we probably leaned a little on the popularity of the LeapPad in using the vernacular, but the technology is the same. It allows you to download a book, and the book is downloaded onto your desktop. You have an icon on your desktop which allows you to access it offline. You double-click the icon, it opens up the TumblePad, and the book that you have downloaded is a cover. You click on the cover and it launches the book. What is especially interesting about the TumblePad and the TumblePad technology, and I should add at this point that the TumblePad technology is now one that we use for Tumble Readables. I know that some people may ask me somewhere down the line, are the online large print books available in a download format? And they are. We've created .exe downloadable format for the Tumble Readables as well. Every time you purchase a new book or download a new book, it gets downloaded in your original TumblePad. So a child is actually building a online desktop library, which he or she can access at any time. An adult, by the same token, can go to his or her TumblePad collection and see it grow and click on the book that they want to read.
So let's talk a little bit more about these Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books. I think, are you officially launching those January 1st, those two new lines? You've sort of been in beta testing now, or or have you already launched that, those two lines?
We're officially launching them January 1st, and we are currently beta testing them and adding new books over the next 2 or 3 weeks. The Tumble Talking book collection, I think, has nearly 1,000 titles in our catalog, and Tumble Readables has 400 or 500. And we hope during the course of 2005 to have in the neighborhood of 2,000 or 3,000 titles in each collection.
So I think these two new lines of the Tumble products will be perhaps of greatest interest to our listeners today and in the future. So these are really areas that could benefit. You seem to be moving sort of beyond the K through 4 reading crowd, and you know, people who are blind or visually impaired, or could really benefit from these two new Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking books.
We believe so, and the reason we got into it is that we've had customers, school customers, for 2, 3, and now 4 years, and a child may have started in kindergarten, grade 1, and is now in grade 3 or 4, and is no longer reading Tumble books because they've progressed beyond the age of picture books. So our customers have come back to us and said, Ron, can you do anything for middle school? Can you do anything for young adults or teen readers? And we said, well, we can, but we don't think that we won't be able to have narration. Of course, there's no pictures, there's no narration. What can we do to make it interesting? And we developed this format, and in doing so, realized that we had some features that were inherent in the format that not only provided an interesting reading experience, but provided accessibility for a community that may not have access to these type of titles.
So let me just make sure that I understand that. So with the Tumble Pad, it really is kind of it cuts across all your collections, from the Tumble books to the Tumble Readables and the Tumble Talking books. And I think you're also working on some kind of hybrid, bring it all together kinds of titles as well. But am I correct that the Tumble Pad is versatile and can handle all this content?
Exactly. We've decided actually to create a different Tumble Pad for kids and one for adults, so that a child can access his or her Tumble Pad offline without having to access his or her parents' books. But the technology works exactly the same, both for Tumble Readables and for Tumble books, and for, as you mentioned, our new 2-in-1 books. But at some point, we're going to have a contest to name this new product, which is a combination of our Tumble Readable large print book and our Tumble Talking Book audio books. We haven't come up with anything better than 2-in-1. We're open to suggestion, but we consider it a very innovative product, particularly for those libraries who have come back and said, we are looking at downloadable books for MP3. What can you give us that makes it interesting for online reading? And we believe that the combination of a 5-hour unabridged audiobook with the Tumble Readable large print technology, which allows you to increase the text to 34 point, makes it a product that is really second to none for online reading.
Yeah, I want to talk about the, especially that sort of font size slide bar that you've developed. I mean, I thought that was pretty interesting functionality. Can you explain how you developed that? And I noticed that you can do it only the font size can be changed only at the beginning of a book or at the beginning of a chapter. Can you talk a little bit about that font size slide bar feature?
So in fact, I'll do more than that. I'll open up a book. And if your listeners would open up or use their mouse to create a full screen, they'll be able to see it at the same time as me. Here you have the first page of George Orwell's 1984. And on the bottom left-hand side, you see what we call our text size slider. I'm just checking to see that everybody can see the same thing as I'm seeing.
I had to click on my view sample to get it to launch this time, Ron, so people may want to do that.
Tom, it was my fault. I forgot to click it properly. For this type of technology, we can't actually just click on the sample. We actually have to right-click, copy shortcut, and put it up. So I'm going to do it over again. My admin assistant Danny was kind enough to remind me that that's what I did. Better?
Okay, now it's launching within the room here.
Sorry about that, everybody. Slightly different technology in order to work with this synchronized browser. But if you see the text size slider on the left-hand side, you can click on the plus sign and increase the text up to 34 point. At one point, you only see two or three lines. And allows the reader to set to the text size which he or she is most comfortable at. Second feature which we've added, which we are very proud of, is our auto page turner feature. And it allows you to preset a time for each page to turn automatically. You click on switch to auto, use the positive sign to click it to the amount of seconds that you want to have it at. Click go, and then you'll see on the bottom right-hand corner, you see the auto countdown. The page will turn automatically. It's a feature which has proven to be very welcome by the physically disabled community. Allows them to read a book in front of a computer without having to click and to turn a page. Tom, you asked me, yes, about the ability to change the text size only at the beginning of the book and at the beginning of each chapter. We realized as we started doing it that if you were to change the text size in the middle of a book, you would lose your place. So it is a feature that is only available to you at the beginning of each page or at the beginning of each book or at each chapter.
Okay, the other fascinating thing is that it reflows the page numbers as you change the font size. Was that a difficult part of this whole system, or is that pretty kind of a no-brainer, happens almost automatically?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I'm guessing it's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, I am just the president of the company and don't do any of the real work. The credit for that goes to our team of developers who created the Tumble readable format and who constantly laugh at me when I call them and ask them if a new feature can be added. For example, the switch to auto feature, which you just see, came not because of my benevolence, but because I was reading one of our titles. I've sort of decided to make my goal for 2005 to try to go through as many list of classics that I neglected to read as a high school student. And so I've started with Jules Verne, Around the World in 80 Days, and soon grew tired of clicking every time to turn the page, emailed my developer, asked her if it was possible to create an auto page turner. She said, of course, and lo and behold, that's what we have.
Last week I had a visually impaired person tell me that for him at least, black text against a yellowish background was the most legible. And I imagine for others it differs. I mean, is there any capability to modify, for example, the font type or the background color or anything like that within TumblePad?
It's funny you should say that because it was in a list of maybe 30 or 40 added features that she suggested that we add. As you can imagine, as we are getting closer to launch date, we come up with new features every week. And as a result, we have to go back and change every single book that we've already created. So at a certain point, we decided to launch with the version 1, try it for 2005, and wait for feedback from the community before we would go and make changes. One of the changes that we have, for example, is this bookmark feature. And in fact, it's only on one of the titles so far, but in January will be in all of them, and I will
Oops, we just lost Ron, so hold on, he'll be back in here.
Sorry about that.
No problem, Ron.
I'm going to take you to a book that has the bookmark feature. Is everybody seeing Michael Oren's 6 Days of War?
Yes, I am.
So if you are reading it and you get to, say, page 2, and decide to stop reading, you can add bookmark. You can actually write your name in. Tom, I'm not entirely clear whether the add bookmark feature is working on the synchronized browsing or not. Can you let me know if you see it pop up for add bookmark?
I'm not seeing it, but I went ahead and clicked on add bookmark and it pulled up at my end. So people can try it at their leisure. Maybe this is a good point to say that you are offering some trial access, at least to portions of content, correct?
No, it's actually a access to our catalog for both Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books. You'll see all the titles in our collection that are currently available. In Tumble Readables, you'll be able to sample the first chapter, and in Tumble Talking Books, you'll hear a 3-minute audio sample.
Okay. Ron, let me circle back and ask you a question. I'm a little bit confused. For all three of these product lines, are you selling both to libraries and other organizations, schools and whatnot, as well as directly to individuals? Or can an individual buy any of these three product lines or subscribe to them?
Currently, the only product line that an individual can subscribe to is Tumble Book Club, which is our Tumble Book Library collection for families. But I suspect that during the course of 2005, we'll make a Tumble Readable and Tumble Talking Book collection available for the consumer market, but not in our launch in 2005. In our launch in 2005, Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Book subscription will only be for institutions, but the Tumble Readable downloads will be available for families and individuals at a site that will be launching in early 2005 and which we will announce as a matter of course.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about your what I would call an innovative sort of subscription scheme. I've been grappling with a good way to describe it. I call it a rolling collection. You want to describe how libraries subscribe to these various collections?
Tumble Book Library differs a bit with Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books. Our Tumble Book Library collection is a 100 book collection, and every single one of our customers, whether it be the Los Angeles Public Library, the Queens Public Library, the Palm Beach County School District, they all have the identical collection. We give them a referred URL, they put that referred URL on their website, and their students, teachers, members, or patrons can access that collection by clicking on that URL. The Tumble Readable and Tumble Talking Book collection is different because we realized that different libraries and different schools would have different needs. So we've built it in a way where a librarian can customize his or her collection by going to the catalog and picking and choosing the books that he or she wants to add to the collection. So whereas Tumble Book Library is a subscription for all 100 books, Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books is a subscription per title. And Tumble Readable, the average title is about $10 per year, whereas Tumble Talking Books, it's at $20.
So if I remember correctly, a library or a school has to subscribe to at least 100 title collection, but then they get unlimited use of that of those titles within that collection. And then here's the rolling part, as I understand it, is that if, based upon usage stats, let's say that 5 of the titles just aren't getting any use at all in the middle of the subscription year, at any point of the subscription year for that matter, a library or a subscribing institution can actually swap out those titles with other titles that they feel would get more use. Is that correct?
Absolutely right. And our collection management program allows you to start books, and from day one, you can start exchanging them at will. You can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and exchange 10 books. Come December, you can exchange 10 summer-related books for 10 Christmas titles. You don't want to pay for the Christmas titles in January because they're no longer relevant, so you exchange them back out for different titles. In addition, you can add new books at a prorated price for the year. So when you choose an additional title, you're not paying a yearly subscription for it, you're paying what the amount of time that is left in that subscription divided by the price.
Okay, and then there's a question from one of our members of our virtual studio audience. Are you planning to offer Tumble readables and Tumble talking books to consortia is one question. And then the second question, if I could just broaden it out a little bit, are any of these titles going to be available in any language other than English?
Tom, let me answer a question that you asked before or revise something that you said before, because although currently on our website we talk about 100 book minimum, we've started getting emails back from librarians across the United States who are piloting the program asking if we are able to offer collections of under 100 books. And after talking it over amongst ourselves over the weekend, we've come up with a program for both Tumble readables and Tumble talking books which will allow a library to start with as many or few books as they like. If you want to start with one book, you can start with one book, you pay $10 a year. The only condition to that program is that the unlimited exchange, which I talked about just a few minutes ago, is only available at 100 books or more.
Okay, so it's unlimited use, but not unlimited exchange if you have a collection of less than 100 titles.
The unlimited remote access is a program which is true for all three of our online reading collections. As many of your patrons can listen or read as many books as at the same time as you like. The books are never checked out. The books are never on hold. For Tumble Readables and Tumble Book Library, you'll actually be able to go to your admin page and view usage stats for both individual titles and over a period of time.
Okay, let's come back to the questions from Susan. What kind of offerings are you extending to consortia regarding library consortia regarding Tumble readables and Tumble talking books? That could range from anything from some kind of a consortial discount, even though they'd be individual library subscribers, or it could be some kind of a shared access to a collection. What are you doing in that area?
We're actually working with a number of consortium across the United States, including Califa in California. I'm guessing that maybe Susan is one of our subscribers out in California. We're working with NYLINK in New York and a handful of other consortium in the United States. And both Tumble Readables and Tumble Book Library will be included in the consortia offers that we have. In addition, it's worth noting that for current subscribers and for subscribers who are interested in subscribing to more than one of our collections, we offer discounts for multiple site subscriptions. If you were to subscribe to two of the collections, it would be a 20% discount. If you were to subscribe to three of the collections, it would be a 30% discount.
So if a consortium wanted to, let's say, have a 300-title Tumble Talking Book collection, how would they all access the same collection, or would it just be a consortial discount for what in essence would be each library's own collection?
It would be exactly the latter of those two statements. It would be a discount above and beyond our regular pricing and our regular discounts that we already offer. Because the very nature of Tumble books, Tumble readables, and Tumble talking books is unlimited access, then they're not buying a set amount of books. Whereas a consortia which is teaming up in order to purchase electronic books from a number of other players in the field purchase a certain amount of books, and they share those books amongst the members. If that title is taken out, then it's taken out for all the members. Whereas in this case, because every title is an unlimited amount of titles, then that doesn't come into effect.
Okay, so we're really talking about a consortial discount rather than a shared collection, it sounds like. And then what about the titles in any language other than English?
We're excited to have about 10 or 15 titles on Tumble Book Library in Spanish. And in Tumble Readables, we have licensed about, I would say, a dozen titles in both French and Spanish. And there are some public domain titles Don Quixote and the like, some of the French authors, Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, for example, which will be available in both French and English.
Okay, and then another question from a member of our virtual studio audience is asking about the billing. If a library subscribes to 100 books, do they pay the entire yearly subscription up front at that point? And then if they trade out 10 books next week and those 10 cost less than the original 10, are they discounted? And then they then change out another 10. Maybe I could answer. My understanding is that all the content is priced at $20 a title, correct?
That's correct. Currently, both Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books have identical price structures within the collection. But during the course of 2005, we'll be adding frontlist bestsellers or perhaps more popular titles, which may be $20 for Tumble Readables or $30 or $40 for Tumble Talking Books. But currently, all the books in their respective collections are the same price, so exchanging them and interchanging them causes no problems.
So Ron, I got to ask you, I used to work in the wholesale produce business, and often when the produce was high priced or it was of inferior quality, kind of a stock answer was, well, it's raining in California. And in the e-publishing realm, it seems to me that an answer often here is that the publishers will never stand for that whenever something kind of innovative is batted around. So my question to you is, how did you get the publishers to agree to this kind of innovative method of providing this content out to libraries and their patrons?
Well, I like to say that it's a combination of my charm and persistence, but the truth is that at the end of the day, it's results. And our current rights holders are some of the giants in the publishing field, like Scholastic, Candlewick, Chronicle, Harcourt, Lerner Books, and the like. And they've been our partners for the last two or three years, and we send them royalty checks twice a year. And in the ebook field, those royalty checks, although are still quite small compared to royalties they may receive for other sub-right deals, are considerably larger than what they've been getting from any other type of ebook program. So when we go back to a publisher and say, we've been with you two or three years, we've had the success with Tumble Book Library, we have these type of subscribers, and we have a 94% renewal rate at Tumble Book Library with our subscribers. It's a product that is very well received, and there's something to be said about success, both monetarily and in the field. So if I go back to Harcourt and Candlewick and Scholastic and say, well, now I'm interested in middle school books and young adult novels, I have a much easier job, although I still have to do a certain amount of groveling, but it's a much easier job than coming in from out of the cold.
Okay, I want to come back to the Tumble Readables and the Tumble Talking Books, because it sounds like your collections will be growing rapidly here over the next 12 months. For libraries that want to subscribe or do plan to subscribe, how are they going to, is there some way to find out what new titles have been added to the collections and that they might want to consider sort of swapping out older titles or titles that they're past their peak use locally within among their local users with these new titles? How are they going to find out about these new titles?
Both Tumble Talking Books and Tumble Readable in the online catalog. And in order to subscribe to Tumble Talking Books or Tumble Readables, you first have to register for our online catalog. And both those online catalogs have sections that are called new editions. And we will be, as we negotiate new deals with rights holders, we'll be adding new titles. Because we're launching January 1st, everything that we are tumbling is being put in the regular collection. But of course, during the course of the year, we'll be getting new books from new publishers, and you'll see them in a regular rotation in our new editions. And of course, we have weekly, and some people complain, bi-weekly emails that go out to our registered Tumble Readable and Tumble Talking Book members.
Okay, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the technology behind this. I'm not a technical guru by any stretch of the imagination, but my understanding is that it's Flash technology for macromedia is sort of the basis for the delivery of your content. Can you talk about sort of the technology behind it a little bit in broad brushstrokes? And why did you decide to go with Flash? It's just kind of interesting to me to see how the different ebook providers are sort of building things on different platforms.
Tom, I am embarrassed to say that I can't talk about it, that my technical ability is probably considerably less than yours. We have a great team of people who work for us, who are actually around the world, who are tumbling books and who give us the latest versions of the type of tumble books that we create. And when we created the very first book, the developers we were working with were Flash animators, and they came back and said, "This is the way to do it." And I have followed their lead ever since. And I'm pretty good in terms of getting suggestions and recommendations from both our developers and from our customers. For example, as we were talking, I have put up a page from our TumbleBook library site. A year ago, we got a number of emails requesting both books in Spanish and the ability to have the collection in Spanish. So TumbleBook Library is translated in Spanish for our customers in Florida and California and Texas. And we will, in January, be launching the collection in Chinese. So you see it here, it's not quite finished yet, both for the local North American Chinese market and for the Taiwanese and mainland China market.
I've heard anecdotally that ebooks are pretty hot in China right now, mainland China. I mean, is there some market studies that you see, tremendous growth in the ebook market in China in the coming years?
Only in terms of the type of emails that we've been getting from representatives and distributors and people who have come across TumbleBook Library. And as a result, we're moving ahead very, very quickly to launch both our traditional Chinese language site and our simplified Chinese site for mainland China. Of course, the numbers are enormous, and even garnering a tiny percentage of those numbers would make it quite a successful project.
Ron, I want to come back to something that was a little bit confusing to me and maybe to others. So let's say that I'm a card-carrying member of a very innovative library that come January 15th is going to be subscribing to Tumble Books, Tumble Readables, and Tumble Talking Books. Can I, as a patron of that library, will I be able to download that content for offline reading?
Will not. You'll only be able to listen or read it online. And in fact, Tumble Readables, because most of the book are 4 or 5 hour unabridged versions from the original publishers, our format is such that the streaming MP3 file is self-destructing, so it doesn't load up your cache.
Okay, so you're going to have to be somehow connected to the internet in order, especially with the Tumble Talking Books, to be able to listen to that content, correct?
Absolutely.
Ron, have you received any kind of detailed feedback from educators or librarians about actual end use of your content?
Well, certainly on the TumbleBook Library side, we have a growing file of testimonials from librarians, both in schools and public libraries, who are using the product and getting great feedback from their student teachers and members. And we can receive no greater testimonial than the yearly renewal. On the Tumble Readables side, the response has been astonishing. We are neophytes when it comes to the visually impaired community. We stumbled across this project almost by chance. We wanted to create a book for middle school readers without really having the visually impaired community or senior community in mind. And so we are learning more and more every day about accessibility and usability and what works and doesn't work. And certainly the type of feedback that we've been getting about people who have not been able to read books or have not been able to access books because even a 16-point book from the public library is not big enough, for them, even though there is some technology available using machinery to enlarge text, the accessibility of Tumble Readables and the combination of Tumble Readables with Tumble Audiobooks is, not to put too strong a word on it, but for many is a godsend.
Ron, yeah, I agree. And many blind or visually impaired individuals prefer to listen to books at faster than normal playback speed. They like to speed it up a little bit. They're speed listeners. Is variable speed playback an option in Tumble Talking Books? Are you thinking about adding that as an option?
I have to be honest, I don't know. It's when you posed me the question earlier, I sent an email out to our people to get an answer and haven't heard back from them. But I will, when I do get the answer, I will convey it back to you. And you in turn, we'd be much obliged if you can pass it on to people who might be interested. I'm not sure what the answer will be, and quite honestly, it's the first I've heard of it. So if it is the type of need that is required, it's certainly something that we will be working on.
I'm a sighted individual myself, and I think my sort of take on this is that variable speed playback, especially of digital audiobooks, where you don't get what I call the chipmunk effect, is a really cool feature that's sort of coming out of the blind and visually impaired. They've known for years the value of that. And it seems to me that the general consumer market doesn't quite know about how useful that can be for a lot of types of content, speed listening.
It's certainly new to us, but it's, like I said, we're anxious to hear back from our developers to see if it's something we can do. I was a bit hesitant to ask them today because I wanted to make sure our 3-minute audio samples were working properly and for our 4 o'clock conference call, so I didn't want to push them too hard.
Okay, I wanted to, as usual, our hour is moving along quickly, so I wanted to ask you about the administrative module for the Tumble family of products. Can libraries get access to usage stats, and what gets counted as a use in a Tumble book?
Sorry, Tom, I tried to launch a book at the same time. They have an admin page, a Tumble admin page, which they access through their collection, and they will be able to go to usage stats, see usage stats for each individual book, see usage stats for books over a time period, for total usage stats over a time period, be able to view exactly what their collection is. When they go through their catalog, the books that are in their collection will be marked as so they don't obviously pick it again. Once you have 100 or 200 titles, it's a little difficult to remember which books that you have in your collection. And they'll be able to see at a glance the books that they have and how the type of feedback they've been getting for them.
Okay, and then one other question that I'm sure librarians will want to know is mark records associated with these titles and how they can get, you know, can they purchase, or is that included in the subscription price, or are they available for these titles?
We're working with OCLC. They're producing MARC records for all our Tumble books, Tumble Readables, and Tumble Talking Books, and they'll be available through OCLC. I imagine that they're purchased just like they would get MARC records for any type of printed book or large print book or electronic book that they get for their catalog.
Okay, Ron, and then I wanted to come back to, we were talking earlier about bookmarks, and if I'm listening to a Tumble Talking Book or reading a Tumble Readable book, do I, as the individual reader, need to remember to set a bookmark at the end of my reading or listening session so that when I come back to the book, will it know automatically, or do I have to set a bookmark or just remember that I need to start, for example, at the beginning of chapter 3?
You have to set a bookmark, and it's quite easy. You click on a button that says Add Bookmark. You put your name in. We now have the ability to set 4 bookmarks per book. So 4 members of a family who are accessing the public library's Tumble Readable or Tumble Talking Book collection can all be reading the same book at the same time and access it from their computer and see their name and go to the bookmark where they left off. Both Tumble Readables and Tumble Talking Books will sync up the text and the audio through the bookmark feature.
And then what kind of methods are available for libraries, or what methods do you use to authenticate library users for libraries that are subscribing to one or more of these services?
The great majority of our subscribers don't use authentication at all. They provide a link on their websites, and their members can access it by accessing their website. The truth be told, the Los Angeles Public Library has a link on their children's site, and if you are in New York City, you can access the Los Angeles Public Library. A handful of our customers include barcode or library card authentication, but it's something that they do on their end. We provide them with the referred URL, which they make accessible after they've gone through their own internal authentication.
Doesn't that cause your publishing partners a little bit of anxious moments?
I don't think so. The truth is that the people who are going to the library websites are by and large the members of the community, and that's currently what our system is. Our publishers are quite happy to have people around the world seeing their books. Part of their thinking and our thinking is that the Tumble book and the Tumble readable and the Tumble talking book, our online program, spurs the sales of their printed books. Certainly our audiobook publishers are excited at the prospect of somebody going to a public library website and perhaps listening to the first 20 or 30 minutes of a title and realizing that it's something that they might want to have in their car. And in effect, it becomes a marketing program as much as a revenue-generating royalty program. And the same is very much true for Tumble Books and Tumble Readables. For Tumble Readables, the experience for somebody who's visually impaired is one which they have to go to in the sense that they don't have a lot of choices for accessibility. But for somebody who's just going to the website who might be interested in reading the first chapter, it becomes a very interesting marketing tool for publishers. Gives somebody the opportunity to read part of the book in a format which is both very accessible and very user-friendly. We believe, and we hope that you believe, that it's considerably more user-friendly than any of the other ebook formats that are out there, both online or downloadable. So at the end of the day, we believe it to be win-win for everybody.
Okay, a question from one of our members of our virtual studio audience. Who are some of the major publishers who have you've signed on for your Tumble Talking Book program that's getting ready to launch here?
We launched on January 1st with two very large publishers, which are Blackstone Audio and Naxos Audio. Blackstone, we have licensed all the titles that they have available in MP3 format, which is, I think, 700 or 800 titles, and Naxos has 300 or 400 MP3 titles, which we have licensed. Amongst them are full cast Shakespeare recordings, which we are very, very excited about, both for Tumble Talking Books, but also for 2-in-1 titles, which will allow a high school class to sit at a computer, listen to, and read along to great Shakespearean plays. And we hope to announce a partnership with Highbridge Audio in the coming days.
Okay, and then from what I've heard, it sounds like all of your content is narrated content. Are you doing anything with computer-generated text-to-speech? Do you have any interest in that area? Again, for blind or visually impaired users, there's some possibilities there for getting access to a lot of content that normally it wouldn't probably be cost-effective to create narrated versions of some of these books?
I don't know, Tom. I don't know very much about it. And perhaps after the conference call, We can exchange some emails and you can give me some more information about it. It's certainly something we're interested in learning about.
Well, just the naturalness of text-to-speech synthetic voice is getting quite good. So some people see that as a, and I count myself among them as seeing it as a real growth area for digital content in general. But anyway, that's one thing. So you're doing a lot of innovative things, and I'm just kind of wondering, since we're only about 5 minutes left, where do you see this all headed? Do you see, actually my entry for the naming contest that you mentioned earlier is Double Tumble. I don't know if I can say that three times quickly, but do you see sort of that combined highly manipulable visual text with audio as being where ebooks are going in general, or what do you see as the, you know, 10 years out and beyond for ebooks? Where do you see it headed?
I really think that at the end of the day, that our vision from 2000, again, as I say, the ubiquitous handheld player will come to fruition and light in the not too distant future. I think that the ebook is a product which will continue to be a complement to the printed book and not a replacement. You know, we are not one of these doomsayers who believe that it's the end of the printed book. We believe that this is a different type of reading experience and one that does not replace the reading experience that you get with a printed book, but it is a different type of reading experience, whether it's a reading experience of having animated talking books, whether it is the ability to enlarge the text or to have the pages turn by themselves, whether it is the ability to read and have it narrated at the same time online or offline on your laptop or handheld computer. It becomes a new reading experience, and part of our goal is to create reading experiences for people everywhere. And certainly the type of feedback that we've received from teachers who have reluctant and emergent readers, high school students, middle school students, who are very comfortable on a computer, who do instant messaging and emails all day long, they see that this reading experience is something which will be very well received by those kids in that community. A child who is daunted by the 500-page Huckleberry Finn or Mark Twain and the small type will begin to be quite comfortable with the large print, only on one page, turn and read at your own speed, tumble readable. And those are the type of reading experiences that we hope to be creating.
The latest figures I've seen from the publishing industry is that digital audiobooks or audiobooks in general and ebooks are two of the fastest growing segments of the overall industry. Ebooks are still really a minuscule part of the overall industry, but do you see that growth continuing for the next few years? And are they going to become sort of major sectors, do you think?
Well, you know, I think we all saw the article last week in the New York Times about ebooks and the growth that we've seen in the last year. But despite the growth, I think it was 34%, represents only a tiny, tiny fraction of the overall publishing revenue. But I think it's unquestionable that we're going to see considerable growth in ebooks as we become less conventional and take advantage of what technology offers us. I think probably the biggest mistake in ebooks when launched is that it was trying to replicate the printed book without adding anything new. And I know that we've barely begun to scratch the surface of what we can do with an electronic book, both with audio, with animation, with narration, with search features. I think that we are, in the coming months and years, going to come up, not we Tumbleweed alone, but we the industry will come up with products which will amaze and astound people.
So this new type of book, this Double Tumble or animated book or whatever you want to call it, whatever you end up calling it, is it all gonna work seamlessly with kind of the same underlying model of the of your audiobooks and your large print books? Will the TumblePad be able to handle those new types of books?
Yes, and it's well suited, and as Macromedia comes up with new Flash versions and new things that we can do in Flash, for instance, Flash 7 now allows us to use a red highlighter. So the next generation of Tumble Readables will allow a high school student to open up a Tumble Readable from home, highlight the sections just like he or she would a printed book. The new version of Flash allows us to do little virtual post-it notes. So for a student who's writing on the margins, they'll be able to replicate that experience. So as the technology grows, we will grow with it. I mean, the truth is that if it was up to our developers, we'd be launching TumblePad version 7 next week that would do 3.5 backflips and twists. But as always, we have to walk before we run.
Well, thanks very much, Ron. Unfortunately, our hour has gone by. And thanks to everyone who's participated this afternoon. I just want to mention that our guest next month will be Anthony Blackwood, the founder of Audio Read, an Australian distributor of digital audio books and newspapers. The exact date and time of that interview will be announced soon. Thanks again, Ron, and everyone for participating this afternoon. It's been a wonderful, wonderful interview. Thanks very much.